Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word, for your gift of your grace. Open up our eyes and our hearts to receive what it is that you want to share with us, that we may be encouraged and or challenged. May your name be praised. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, 1931. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The gift that we receive from Jesus Christ is an enormous one. And multifaceted. My son and I, Jonathan, we were talking a while ago about the really unique thing about hobbies. How many of you have a hobby of one sort or another? Hobbies? Yeah, I love hobbies. They're amazing things. You can get on any level of a hobby that you absolutely want. You can do something on the surface and enjoy it completely. How many of you enjoy fishing? Get some fishers? I don't fish. I really feel bad for the worm. I can't do it. I know some of you say, "Well, don't use a worm." Well, then I feel bad for the fish. Just don't fish. But you can fish, and fishing can become a hobby. And it can be, you can dive as deeply into the hobby as you want to. You can just go out on weekends, you know, go to Walmart, buy a fishing pole, buy a tackle box, and go down to the bank of a creek and sit down there on a log and throw your line in and just really have a fantastic time, just relaxing and being amongst nature, quiet times. Or you can spend all your time researching the best pole with the proper line, the proper test for the proper line for the fish that you really want to get, what lure, what baits are perfect for the kind of fish that you want to get. You can measure the temperature of the stream so that you know the ideal time that particular fish that you want to get is active. You can do research about what kind of weather brings that particular fish to the water. I mean, you can get really, really deep, and don't even start on fly fishing. The techniques that you can use in order to catch particular fish and make that fly go around, that you can make your own flies, and the kind of flies that you can make. I mean, hobbies are perfect because you can either stay on the surface or you can go as deep as you possibly can on them. And following Christ, thought like that too. A lot of benefits to be both. But when we look at Jesus Christ on Easter and what Jesus had gifted him, we can look at that main surface, that big thing that we all know that Christ did for us upon the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, we received in that moment, through faith in Christ, forgiveness of sins. Erasing away of our past mistakes. The getting rid of those shames, those fears, those difficult things, those things that we look back on our life and we say, Justin, how could you do that? How could you live that way? Because Jesus died on the cross, we've been forgiven of those moments, made fresh to start over. And if we just stop there in that knowledge, for many, that would be enough. That is so important. Because we've been forgiven of the sins, we've also, if we go a little bit deeper, been given eternal life. Eternal life is great hope. We can live in this world knowing that Christ will be with us always and forever, no matter what. Well, what if we go a little bit deeper in this scripture that we read today? His disciples were in the upper room. They heard rumors that Jesus had risen from the dead, but not the actuality of Jesus had risen from the dead. They're talking and they're asking themselves many questions. And amongst the questions I think they're asking themselves, it's now what? What do we do now? Jesus has been training us and leading us into a particular direction and it's gone. What do we do now? Jesus pops into the room before anyone ever knew anything and erased the doubt that they had for the future and gave them direction. When we give our lives more deeply to Christ, we understand that God gives us direction. Erases the fear of the unknown, knowing that if we continue to walk with Christ day by day, one day at a time, that Jesus will lead us to an end goal. Now, what that looks like for you and for me is different. How we walk that and where we go, it's different. But because Christ died and was risen again, Jesus gave me direction. That's a lot. Because sometimes in my life, I feel like I'm just bumping around in the night, not knowing where I'm going, what I'm doing, what's happening next. But I know God's got it. Christ erased my fear of tomorrow. And then we look a little bit deeper. We look at Thomas saying, I'm not going to believe in Jesus Christ unless I see him. I get that. I mean, it's scary to believe in something when you're not quite sure if it's real or not. Thomas didn't want to commit and be disappointed again because Thomas was already hurt once when Jesus died on the cross. But as soon as Jesus stepped into that room once again and Thomas saw Jesus standing before him, he didn't have to put his hands in the nail hole or his hands in the side. That was enough for him. Jesus erased Thomas' doubt. And I love this because when we follow Christ deeper, Jesus erases our doubt. Not all the time. I love the Bible because these two scriptures, Thomas, the doubter, and the man, you remember the man whose son was demon possessed, and Jesus said, "This is the kind of demon that can be taken care of through prayer and fasting." And Jesus said to the father, "If you believe, I will heal your son." And the father replied, "You remember this? I believe. Help my unbelief." When we follow Christ deeper, Jesus loves us in spite of our doubts, in spite of our fears, in spite of our unbelief. Because we say that we believe, but isn't there moments in our lives where we question? And inevitably, when we stay with Christ, Jesus has a tendency to erase those too. To do something in our life, to show us something, to place someone in our life that helps us to look back and say, yes, now Jesus, I saw you were there. And I thank you that you've always been there. The deeper we go with Christ, the more that we're blessed, the more Jesus erases those things about us that we can't stand, those things about us that we want to get rid of. And we praise God that He's with us always, leading us, though maybe not always as quickly as we would like, but as quick as we need. And we thank God that Christ is there always.